Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the fact that Doddington Hall getting really excited about opening things up. That was around about Easter. It's getting even more exciting because I was sent some details about something called the rewilding of Doddington Hall. To tell us more, the woman who spends a lot of time there because she lives there, Claire Birch. Claire, thank you for joining us here on Siren. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now then, rewilding sounds awfully exciting, if slightly concerning. Are you going to release wild animals to roam your parkland, or is this much more controlled and much more seemly? Tell us more about it.
Rewilding has got a lot of connotations, hasn't it? And I would
Indeed.
really call our project more nature recovery. Basically, over the last few years, we're farming on very marginal land here, and it's become increasingly marginal. And of course, the EU is withdrawing subsidies for farmers, and so we're beginning to think, is this the best way forward? And at the same time, as somebody who's been passionate about environmental things all my life, I spent my 20s worrying about the rainforest, and we've tried to be sustainable in everything we do here at Doddington. Suddenly, I kind of had this realization that there was more we could do as landowners than simply put chemicals on the land and get crops out. And we went to see some other projects that have been doing these sort of nature recovery projects in other parts of the country. And I more and more realized that actually, if we stop the arable farming and put fences around the perimeter of the blocks of land, we're divided into three blocks by the roads, and just let nature recover and just regenerate using our existing herd of Lincoln Red cattle as the main kind of engines of habitat creation, we could actually do amazing things. We could increase biodiversity. We could sequester carbon in the soil and the vegetation. We could increase the soil health. We could, by blocking ditches and drains, hold the water up on the land, actually reducing flood risk in Lincoln, which is downstream of us. And on top of all of that, because we're so close to Lincoln and we've got such huge footfall here at Doddington, we could do a lot around giving people access to the countryside for sort of education, health, well-being, and build sort of nature-based tourism for all these people who are doing staycations. And so we felt we were uniquely positioned to have a very radical and different approach to our land. That's where it all started.
It sounds terrifically exciting, and you sound so excited about doing it, but it is quite a mammoth task. I mean, what you're describing is it's not going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years. This is a very, very long-term investment, isn't it?
It is. It's a long-term project. We're looking at it as a 100-year project, because what's going to happen is we've got this mosaic of habitats and woodland and little bits of lowland heath across the land and across our land, and they're going to basically grow and expand, and the hedges will expand, and we will, in the end, get a kind of almost like a kind of that sort of African landscape with broken up trees, with areas of pasture and wildflowers and birds. So that's obviously for oak trees and things like that to grow is going to take hundreds of years. So it is a long-term project, but the government's really, really keen on increasing the connectivity between habitats and nature places. So the conventional thing in the past has been to sort of manage small areas of some nature reserves, and they're very, very highly managed. But you can't manage an area the scale of our land in that kind of way. And this is a very different approach where you let nature take its course with a few key species like our Lincoln Red cattle. We'll probably add some wild ponies in later on because they eat in a different way and browse in a different way. And of course, there's existing deer that are browsing from the trees and what have you. And then possibly a few pigs, very, very few pigs, because they can do a huge amount of habitat creation. And it spills over from being habitat creation to being destruction quite quickly if you have too many of them. But they'll be our engineers. So it's not going to be, it's complicated in some ways in that we've got to get the balance right. And at the end of the day, we're still beef producers and we want to produce fantastic beef. We already have a, you know, all the beef we can produce is sold through our farm shop and restaurants and events and things. So that's absolutely critical. And the beef's going to become organic and pasture for life. Certified, which means unlike grass-fed, it's fed pasture forage for the whole of its life. And so that's a whole skill in itself.
The lovely thing about Doddington, and if you haven't, if you're listening to this and you haven't been to Doddington, and we do have a listenership which is much further than Lincoln and Lincolnshire, it's worth coming over here. Apart from the farm shop and the wonderful restaurants that you've got, which are slowly, hopefully, reopening and will stay open. The lovely thing about the way you've set Doddington up is that there's a freedom about the place. People can wander. You can wander through the gardens. You can wander down the footpaths which go across the land, and you can see the Lincolnshire Reds. You get the sense that you're welcome to be here, and you're going to be offering people an opportunity to see an alternative way to manage the land, which in other parts of the UK is being mismanaged. So you're showing that it is possible to offer nature a healing opportunity back again.
Yes, I think that's really, you put your finger on it. It's a really important part of what we're doing. If we were miles away from any population and we didn't have the footfall, that would halve the value in a way to us all of what we're doing. So the whole educational side of it and that well-being side of it is a very, very important part of it. There's this whole concept called natural capital, where you do your nature recovery, but then you're trying to value nature in all its ways, not just the ecosystem services, the flood mitigation and the carbon sequestration, but also those benefits to people. And we felt we could be a real exemplar of that at Doddington, because we've got that footfall already. We've got the public footpaths running through. And on top of that, we're going to build a whole range of different safaris and wildlife tours. People can come and do volunteering. We're already working very much with the University of Lincoln on kind of baselining and monitoring of everything, not just the ecological stuff, but the social science stuff as well. And we've had several students already doing research projects. And in fact, of course, given the direction of travel with farming and the way the government's trying to encourage farmers to, well, they're going to be paying for public money for public goods. So it's not just about producing food. It's about all the other things you can do with the land. There's going to be a huge demand for young people to go into careers where they're monitoring and evaluating and watching all these things. So we're hoping to offer those kind of training and skills development opportunities as well.
Absolutely fantastic. And I think just going back to the fact that this is a long-term project, 100 years, you are investing for generations that have yet to be born.
Mm-hmm. We won't see the results of this in our lifetime. I mean, I'm nearly 60. And our son is somebody who's been very adamant that we should look at this too. He studied environmental science, and it is about the next generation. And I think everyone's now aware we have got these crises, climate and biodiversity crises, and we've all got to look hard at what we can do. And it's a long-term thing. It's for the next generation and the generations after that. Having said that, we will be building alternative income streams on the back of it. And obviously people coming to look at the nature will also visit our shops and things like that and stay. Hopefully we're going to have, we're going to develop more accommodation, maybe some sort of camping and that kind of thing too. So, it's not entirely altruistic. It's trying to reinvent an estate that's been here for a very long time for the 21st century, really, to make us more sustainable financially as well as environmentally.
Claire, it's been a real delight to talk to you. I hope that we can follow this project through. When does anything sort of visually start that people can see? Or is that the $64,000 question?
Well, no. And I mean, the reason we've gone public now rather than to wait for a little bit is because the farm's looking pretty strange. In fact, and there are parts of the farm that we haven't been able to get on for 3 years now. We haven't been able to get on in the autumn because it's been so wet. Right. So there are some fields that have been fallow for 3 years already. But there's certainly quite a few fields that if you were to come down the Sustrans track and down the Georgie Twig track into Doddington from Lincoln, which, of course, is this wonderful traffic-free route from Lincoln to Doddington. Fantastic. You would see these very fluffy looking ex-arable fields with all sorts of volunteer, it's called, the leftover wheat from the previous harvest, bits of rape, bits of sort of stuff's going to happen. We'll have 1 year where we'll have lots and lots of poppies, and the next year it might be nettles, and then eventually it settles down and you get a sort of balance, a sort of equilibrium establishes. So there'll be moments when we think, oh my God, and there'll be great clumps of brambles, and people will say, what are the brambles doing? It's looking really messy. But the brambles are so incredible because they're like a tree nursery. The jays come and plant the acorns in the middle of the brambles, and then the acorns grow up inside the brambles, and the animals can't eat them until they're big enough and they pop out the top. So it's all, there's method in the madness.
Are you making any sort of video documentary about it, or time lapse or something like that? Because it sort of almost cries out for that, doesn't it?
That's such a salient point. We're actually working with the university on a range of different things along visualizing this. And one of the ideas we've got is to have a kind of selfie station. So everyone who visits could put their phone on a stick where there's a hedge behind them, and they take a picture of themselves. And of course, that hedge is going to expand and grow into the fields. And over the years, we'll have thousands of pictures of people in the same place with this hedge growing behind them. So it's that kind of thing that we're going to do to try and engage people, but also try and visualize it and create some great visual content that we can share on our website and social media
for the next 100 years and beyond. Claire Birch, thank you so much indeed for introducing this fantastic project, and we at Science Radio will carry on dipping into it and following the progress, certainly not for me over the next 100 years, but certainly as long as we're able to. So thank you very much indeed for the moment for joining us here on Science Radio.
My pleasure, and keep in touch. There'll be lots of opportunities for volunteering and all sorts of things around the project. So that's great, and we'll get you over here. Thank you.